We have now been joined by the truly amazing, fabulous, wonderful Nicola Clancy. Nicola, good to see you.
Yes, good morning.
Now, you've taken your duties as a correspondent extremely seriously today because unlike those of us who actually simply came up and parked by the main sort of press area and were guided in and did all the rest of the bits and pieces, you said, no, I want to keep it real. I want to see what the General Joe and Josephine Q public actually experience. You took the park and ride system.
I did, yeah. I went in the public parking and then I came here on a bus.
So how was it?
It was fine. Yeah, very fun.
It's okay. Well, let's actually have a little wander over here by the National League Championships. And as we can see here, in terms of the prize-winning leagues, some prodigiously sized vegetables.
They're absolutely massive. My gosh, I never realised you could get a leek as big as that.
We've already had the fantastic news that the giant onion from last year, the record-breaking onion last year, is no more because there was an even bigger onion this year. We'll be getting various photos with that. We've spoken to one of the gentlemen responsible for the seeds for those onions. But your initial thoughts as we're looking around in Flower Show or Flower Hall 2 about your first ever North of England Horticultural Society autumn show?
Well, because there's a lot of vegetable presence in here, it's amazing to see such big onions, leeks, cabbages. It's just astounding. I'd want to know what they feed them.
It's always great to actually meet correspondents that have proven to be stars in previous years, Nicola. And when we talk about heirloom tomatoes, certainly there is one legend who stands out that. Of course, it is the gentleman whose name is?
Chris Cole.
Chris, you obviously won top prizes last year because you joined us telephonically for a phone link shortly afterwards, I believe.
I did indeed, yeah. Enjoyed that. It was great fun.
We will be doing that again in the very near future. But talk to us now. I mean, we're already very impressed with a whole range of things. It's been a challenging season growth-wise, but how have heirloom tomatoes been faring?
Oh, it's been a nightmare. Yeah, I think everybody's suffered this year. No one's got away with just a good crop of tomatoes. It's been an absolute nightmare. The weather's just been against us. A lot of people think they've done something wrong, and they haven't at all. It's just simply the way the weather's been. It's not been easy for anybody.
Nicola?
I just wanted to ask, what is the best weather for growing tomatoes?
Hot Mediterranean?
Yes, Mediterranean, hot and dry, really. These cold, damp, humid, has been a nightmare. What we have done, though, is we learned a great lesson on what tomatoes will do well in this sort of growing atmosphere. We could always look at the negative side, but this time we're looking at the positive, and we can now recommend to people what will grow if we've got weather like this again.
Excellent. Well, I'm intrigued by all the different tomatoes you've got here. What's the most like exotic tomato, you'd say?
The most exotic one I've got? Now, that's a very good question, isn't it? Do you mean from the Far East, or do you mean more local? Or we've got one there from Russia called Giraffe. Why it should be called Giraffe, I don't know. It's sort of yellowy-green. It's a long-keeping tomato, and it's the most peculiar flavour. But that is very exotic. No one yet has come up wanting to eat one. But they're very peculiar.
What would you say is the tastiest tomato, then, out of the usual, like, cherry tom?
Can I give you one to taste?
Yes, please.
Always important, isn't it, Nicola, to actually get the first tomato of the day, I think.
Yeah, definitely. One of my five a day. Oh, wow.
Okay. Crucial stuff. It's okay. I shall hold fire on this one, Chris, but this is looking good. So here are the thoughts of Nicola working through this.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's lovely.
It's got a lovely balance, hasn't it? Not just sweet, but it's got sweet and acidic, which gives it that lovely tomato-y flavour. That's the flavour you're really looking for when you buy a tomato in the supermarket. Can I give you one other?
Yes, please. Yeah. You can try the tomatoes out on me. I don't mind.
This is why we like Chris from Heirloom Tomatoes, because he's just such a wonderful person. It's really great, really.
Do you know, it's true what you say. This is a white cherry tomato. It's from America. It's called Snow White, but it has a flavour and taste and flavour and texture of white grape. It really is the most extraordinary tomato.
Suggesting she might get drunk on this one.
No, only with ecstasy.
Yeah. Always good, exactly.
That's really different, but lovely. It's lovely and light and super.
People often ask me what's my favourite tomato, and I've got loads of, I mean, we grow 300 varieties, but different ones go with different things. Like that white, the Snow White one goes beautifully with fish on a salad. It's almost like a Veronique style. So different flavours go with different things. You've got those that are more savoury, go with Mediterranean foods. But just having those options is a great thing to be able to have the variety to go with different things.
Do you have any like tips for growing tomatoes? Obviously, with the weather being good, what would be the best tip for growing tomatoes?
The best tip I'd grow is the use of WD-40. Now, it might surprise you to hear that, but keep the windows and doors open. The better the ventilation, the better your tomatoes will be.
Right, I'll have to remember that.
Fantastic. And the web address for heirloom tomatoes, once again, obviously you use search engines, but how do people get in touch with you, Chris, if they're thinking, yeah, we want to find out more about those Russian giraffes?
It's very simply heirloomtoms.org.
Now, Nicola, you've just actually uttered those immortal words, it's bigger than a baby.
It is. There's a massive onion there that's like double the size of a baby.
An average baby, indeed. And we're now going to speak to National Vegetable Society's very own Ray Orme, autumn exhibitor. Ray, share with us. I mean, already people are very excited about last year's record going. This must be, again, a
wonderful
thing. Well,
that's it. We weren't expecting it to beat. The guy himself, he had his fingers crossed. Obviously, he'd weighed it himself before he brought it in, but then we had to trim it down for the standards here. He wasn't quite sure how much weight it would lose with the trimming of the tops. And his scales obviously weren't calibrated as ours are. So he was, fingers crossed, and he just made it by a couple of ounces. But a wonderful effort.
Wow, that's fantastic. Do the onions get bigger each year?
They have done, yes. I mean, this guy has beaten the record 3 years on the trot, basically.
Oh, my gosh. What does he do to make them so big?
Well, obviously, it's the seed he's got. So he's keeping his own seed from year to year. And the methods he's using. I mean, it won't see daylight as such. It'll be undercover all the time. I mean, you say bigger than a baby. Last year's onion was not an onion shape like that. It did look like you could hold a baby in your arms.
You can get back on our website, Southside Broadcasting Facebook page, and it will be there.
That's brilliant. So do onions have to be a certain shape now, or can they be any kind of like shape and size? Or
for the heaviest onion, shape doesn't come into it.
Oh.
It's pure weight.
Yeah.
Along the stand here, there's exhibition onions, which are dressed. They have to have shape and size and quality. And as you can see, they do look different than these.
They do, yeah. They do.
We were looking earlier at the giant leeks array. Can you eat those? Are they edible?
The blanch leeks, as they're called.
Yeah.
Yes, they're not as nice as normal leeks you dig out of the garden, but yet they are edible. Some of them, when they get big, can be a little bit tough, but no, they're all right for soups and that sort of thing.
Talking earlier with the press team, etc., and obviously we'll be speaking to Martin Fish later on in the whole thing, but they seem to get a growing buzz about this autumn flower show. I mean, it seems as though it's the ideal end to the season and all sorts of things. Your own thoughts?
I would say it's the best vegetable show in the country. Okay, I'm only involved in the vegetable, but looking at the flowers, they're absolutely superb. And yes, it is the end of the season, and it's been a bad year this season, but some of the stuff here is absolutely marvellous.
Olympian.
Well, yes, never thought of that. Yes, yes. But, it's just a superb show. As they are, from a veteran man, I would say the best in the country.
Right, an absolute delight. We'll hopefully catch up with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, thanks now.
Still with Ray Orme. Ray, National Vegetable Society, which you're obviously your role within that?
Well, I organise the vegetable side of this show. I'm a minute secretary for the North of England branch.
And you were saying that you were a little bit worried earlier in this year, but entries have been good. People are coming here today, or they're listening to this online, or however they're consuming this particular sort of interview. Is it time to start thinking about 2013 now and getting their entries in there? What's the process people go through?
Well, I wouldn't say they won't get their schedules till next year, but now's the time to look at the varieties, get your seed catalogues, say, yes, I like that variety, I'm going to grow that. So you get your seed catalogues. You know the time of the time of the year of the show.
So Augusta St. Ledger Day. Yeah, that's what you need to plan it by, basically.
Well, I'm not a racing man. I wouldn't know that. But no, obviously you're planning ahead to have things ready for the show. So that's it. You look at your varieties. Yes, I'd like to grow that. Go to your seed catalogues, and then you'll get your schedules in May time.
And is there a web address for the Northern Vegetable Society?
For the National Vegetable Society.
National Vegetable Society.
Yes, it's National Vegetable Society. On the net, it's National Vegetable Society.
We were saying earlier, Nicola, that there are certain folk who are absolutely bedrock when it comes to quality presentations, food, etc. Chris from Heirloom Tomatoes being one of those fine sort of examples. In terms of style, in terms of sophistication, in terms of actually Hollywood glamour, because this this next young lady has actually been featured in all sorts of marvellous ways from LA onwards, and keeping our LA correspondence to the fore, we're delighted now to be able to speak to
Janie Roberts.
Janie, it seems like only yesterday we were sort of connecting together, and here we are, months go by, really.
I know, but you know, the Harrogate Flower Show is an amazing place, and it's always wonderful to see you again.
Thank you very much, Janie. Your cheque will be in the post. How's the year been? I mean, obviously for a lot of exhibitors, people have had challenging times. How has how's your own sort of thing been bearing up?
The year's certainly been challenging. We've had lots of shows cancelled with the rain. I, however, have been working in Toronto quite a lot. In fact, I'm planning on moving there.
You could become a Canadian correspondent for us.
Absolutely.
Nicola.
That's fantastic. I'm just looking at your stall and you've got lovely scarves and sarongs, really bright colours. Is there any like bestseller for this kind of time of year?
Do you know, it's that intermittent season at the moment, so it's 50-50. It's sarongs still and the scarves, but come 2 weeks' time, the sarongs go to bed for the winter and concentrate purely on scarves.
Makes perfect sense. Now, what the listener may not realise, Nicola, is that Janie probably singularly responsible for bringing back Dallas due to the very positive line she actually did a few years ago with Charlene Tilden. Is this not right?
I did an infomercial, and I did one last 2 weeks ago with Shannon O'Dowd, another Hollywood actress.
So you see, this policy is all sorted through with that. And I mentioned obviously the LA connection, the Hollywood thing from that. Just share with us again, remind our listeners how that sort of first came about.
Well, I work on QVC. I design shapewear called Slim and Lift for QVC, which I work worldwide.
Slim and Lift?
Yes, it's magic knickers, but we're now doing magic bras, magic pants, magic arms. We've got so much going on. So
there's a certain part of me which thinks magic bra, Nicola, but no.
Well, that sounds amazing.
You'll have to tune in. QVC, the next date is the 19th of October. See me live or watch Thane Direct and find the Slim and Lifts there.
Fantastic. I mean, just amazing on that scenario, etc. And from your own point of view, etc., how do people get in touch with you? Is it QVC? Is that the best route?
QVC is the best route, or just Google me, Janie Roberts, and it will get you through to my email address, and you can always contact me.
Splendid. Now continue our little promenade around the Made in Yorkshire area, which is always very important, as indeed we are in Yorkshire, but it's always nice to celebrate. We're back with LG Bears. I say back because we were here a year ago. Bears on this stand, collector bears for adults, not suitable for children under 14 years. Graduation bears, of course, very popular, but we're delighted to speak once again to
Sue LG.
And
Len LG.
There we are, Sue and Len LG. Now, Nicola, what's not to love about these wonderful LG bears?
Oh, they're absolutely adorable, and they're so nice and small and intricate detail to them. They're lovely.
Thank you very much.
Just positive stuff in every sense of the word. But I'm going to actually pass on my mobile phone number to Nicola, and she can actually sort of deal with another correspondent. Meanwhile, I continue this working through this. Bear making courses. This is something we've talked about doing. How long does it take to get skilled in making a bear?
It takes a year or two to get really skilled at it. My courses I run are for a weekend, and you learn to make a bear, a basic bear, in the weekend. You complete a whole 12-inch bear. But to get really skilled, it takes 2 or 3 years, I think.
Yeah, it's a lifetime, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually probably return with, obviously, Nicola and Natalie to actually sort of provide a more detailed look on this. But very briefly, is there a web address? How do people actually contact Bear Making Courses in York?
Yeah, it's www.lgbears.co.uk.
Right. Sue and Len will be back again, hopefully in a few moments. Okay. It's calls of phones and all the rest of the bits and pieces. See you again very soon.
Okay, then. See you later.